Welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Here are your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lull.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Back for another episode to talk about waiver wire pickups heading into week five. I am your host, Jeff Carrier. My co-host here is Seth Lull. Back for another great episode. And the NFL is off to a blazing start, Seth. It has been high scoring all over the place. Teams and quarterbacks specifically setting records. What do you make of kind of all this prolific high scoring? And some of it has really trickled down to the receivers. I don't think I've seen this many double-digit catch wide receivers. It almost seems like in a season, and it's only been 4 weeks. And some receivers with multiple double-digit catch games as well.
Yeah, and the quarterback play has been ridiculous this year. There's just so many good quarterbacks that are scoring. Like, you know, I remember in recent years, and we have to go back and look, but I can't imagine, I can't remember. And obviously scoring is, you know, varies from league to league, but usually there's, you know, a handful of games where quarterbacks have 40 plus fantasy points. Now it's like an every week occurrence where there's multiple quarterbacks every single week getting over 40 fantasy points. Which is just ridiculous. And the defenses, there's just no good defenses in the NFL, it seems like. It's just, you know, there's maybe two or three that are startable on a week-to-week basis in fantasy, and the rest, it's like, you know, there's no point in even starting a defense. They can get you negatives or get you 0 points. But the football has been, it's been fun to watch, starting with the Rams-Vikings game on Thursday night, kind of kick off the week. That was probably one of the best, most entertaining games that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it has been fun for the most part. Drives are being extended because a lot of the roughing the passer penalties, among other penalties, or just the nature of, obviously, the types of rules been put in place to protect the offense and the quarterback. Rules are being drives are being extended. Teams are tying up the games towards the end. We had several overtime games again this weekend. There's been just some prolific scoring and already multiple 50-point quarterbacks scoring, especially if you're in a specifically if you're in a 6-point for passing touchdown league. And then to your point, I was asking you, you know, we play in a couple leagues that we try and make every position important. You know, we don't want to start one quarterback. Let's start two. Let's make the position important. And same with defenses. We have some pretty aggressive scoring on defenses. And, man, it is hard to find a legitimate defense to start week in and week out with these offenses scoring on nearly everyone.
Yep, it's frustrating. I've been burned by just about every single defense I've started every week this year. The Jets got me -5, so that was always, you know, that's always fun.
It's in terms of, you know, players, Seth. There's a lot of players that we, I guess, quote unquote, hang our hat on before the season starts. We did our draft special, players to target, players to avoid, but none was more prevalent than the two players from the Rams that we hyped up so much that I think could have made or break our season in terms of predictions, and that was Bobby Woods and Cooper Kupp. And man, that has been fun to see them out there and come to fruition, and knowing that we didn't let people down. So that's been exciting to see that really play out, I guess, the way that we thought it would. And that is most certainly not always the case.
Yeah, the Rams offense is just absolutely ridiculous this year. You could start Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. They're all must starts every single week. Even if you own all three, start them all. They just produce every single week, and the floor is pretty high for each of them. They're all getting double digits even on off weeks. So, you know, these are two players that you got, you know, people were able to get after the sixth round. So you're able to get two borderline stud receivers after the sixth round. That's how you win championships, when you're able to get that type of value in the middle to late rounds of the draft.
All right, Seth, now we're just going to kind of jump right into this and go into the waiver wires segment of the episode. But before we do that, let's go ahead and thank our sponsor, MyBookie. That's right. Ever since we started the podcast, people always ask us, you know, for betting advice, where should they start placing their bets? Who has the best website out there? And that is MyBookie. They've been in business for years. They've got great reviews online. Their mobile site is easy to use. You lay some cash down and win big today. We'd only recommend a service that we've been currently already using. That's why we always urge you to head to MyBookie. You win, they pay. And not only that, they have live in-game betting. That's one of the funnest things to kind of do. You got a team that's on third down, try and predict what they do on the next play, or you know the line is going to change live from touchdown to touchdown, score to score. They have the most rewarding player perks in the business, and your fantasy guys out there, you can even do the over under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. It's crazy. You can bet on anything. Head to MyBookie, join. They will match your deposit dollar for dollar. That's MyBookie.ag. Use our promo code HEADS, that's HEADS, to activate the offer. And visit them online today, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code HEADS. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, now let's kick off our week five or pickups for week five on the waiver wire. And let's start at the running back position. I really only have one this week from the running back position, but it's Nyheim Hines in Indianapolis, one of the more crowded backfields when everyone's healthy. Marlon Mack missed week four's game against Houston, and Nyheim Hines had his, you know, I guess a breakout game, you could say. 9 catches, 63 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's on pace for 88 catches this year. Jordan Wilkins hasn't done anything all year. Marlon Mack can't get on the field. And they're playing New England on Thursday night. New England, one of the slower defenses. You know, they struggle a lot of times with these shiftier backs out of the backfield. And New England, you know, it's a game that's probably going to be high scoring. Indianapolis might be down. In any case, I like Nyheim Hines this week, you know, especially with the bye weeks in full force. I think Nyheim Hines is worth a grab. He is owned in only 15% of ESPN leagues, so he's available, and I like his upside in PPR leagues.
Yeah, it was really weird to see, and I don't know exactly what the breakdown in terms of how many rushes Indianapolis had here. I'm going to try and pull it up in a second. They just weren't really rushing the ball at all. 62 pass attempts for Andrew Luck. And every time you look over, you're like, are they running the ball at all? Jordan Wilkins had the most carries at 8 carries. They are just an imbalanced team. It's kind of like Tampa Bay the first few weeks. Even when they were doing well or ahead, they still just could not run. And that kind of seems like where the Indianapolis Colts are right now. As long as he keeps getting involved, Andrew Luck has that history of throwing a lot of touchdown passes to the backs. We remember when Frank Gore was there, especially in PPR leagues. This is one of those great, not great, but you know, comfortable RB2 people that you can throw in there, so that way you don't have to sacrifice and give up a good starting wide receiver in the year.
Yeah, and I guess an honorable mention, Nick Chubb is somebody as well that is worth a look. He's owned in only 15% of leagues. He's coming off, you know, he's another running back this week that had a breakout game. The rookie had 3 carries for 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. So basically 2 really long runs, kind of fluky, didn't catch a pass. He's not getting the goal line touches. That's all Carlos Hyde. So if you can afford to take a flyer on a player, you know, if your bench is big enough or you have a couple players where you're just, you know, it's like a revolving door, you're dropping them each week and grabbing new players. If you can find space on your bench for Nick Chubb, I'd definitely pick him up. It's just, it's hard to imagine him really getting an increase in touches, at least in the short term, with Carlos Hyde healthy and then Duke Johnson still, you know, getting most of the work in the passing game. But only owned in 15% of leagues. He's a rookie, clearly has some upside. If you're thinking, you know, more long term, Nick Chubb is another player, I guess, you could definitely pick up and stash on your bench.
Yeah, he's probably going to fit that category of, you know, you don't want to drop anyone who's kind of a guaranteed, you know, guaranteed touches or a decent 10-point plus per week flex player, wide receiver. But if you've got like the, say, Alfred Morris on your team, kind of just sitting there soaking up a roster spot, Nick Chubb probably is worth picking up over someone like an Alfred Morris. Someone that's got a little bit more upside. I wouldn't drop him. I wouldn't pick him up and drop someone who is kind of like a decent bi-week filler, just because who knows how long you have to wait with Nick Chubb if he even kind of really earns a bigger role or not. As you mentioned, he had a couple long runs. But if you're in a deep league and you've got someone like Alfred Morris who really can't start for you, and doesn't really have any upside, he's probably someone I'd replace for Nick Chubb.
Agreed. Absolutely. So Nick Chubb, Nyheim Hines, two running backs that are available in the majority of ESPN leagues. Go grab them if you are able to. Shifting to the wide receiver position, let's start with somebody like a Dede Westbrook, owned in 12% of leagues, coming off a pretty big game, 9 catches, 130 yards. So 24 fantasy points against the lowly Jets. He's got a really good matchup week 5 in Kansas City. So can Blake Bortles have another big game? And it looks like Dede Westbrook is really shaping up to be the guy in Jacksonville. What are your thoughts on Dede Westbrook?
Never thought I would like say it, never mind even think it. You know, with Dede Westbrook kind of being kind of the go-to, Blake Bortles is having one of those years. I mean, Blake Bortles, it was a couple years ago that he just had a very good year. And I know he didn't play bad last year either, but Jacksonville receivers are ones to definitely consider owning. Keelan Cole is not really getting a ton of action. So, you know, this 9 catch is a little bit of an anomaly. He only had 3, 4, and 5 the previous weeks. I wouldn't get overly excited about it. But I'd say he's in a similar category as Nick Chubb. Like, I don't want to really be starting Jacksonville wide receivers week in, week out. However, if I've got someone like an Alfred Morris, who's kind of just there soaking up a roster spot, doesn't really have any upside, I would go with Dede, who's got a little bit more upside.
Yep. And before we get into a couple of these other wide receivers that are definitely more realistic in terms of your chances of getting them, Mohamed Sanu is a player that I really like. He's owned in 49% of leagues, so it's, you know, a complete crapshoot whether or not he's available in your league. But he's available in a couple of our leagues. I just picked him up this last week on waivers in one of our leagues, and he's still available in another one of our leagues. And he's a guy who had a really, really solid season last year, and he's strung together back-to-back really decent games, 6 catches for 111 yards against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's one of the, you know, they're a bottom 5 team against the pass in the NFL. But I love a couple of these matchups coming up for Mohamed Sanu at Pittsburgh and at home against Tampa in week 6. These are two of the worst 3 teams in the NFL against the pass. Everybody throws on Pittsburgh, everybody throws on Tampa. And Calvin Ridley getting a lot of attention, rightfully so, with all the touchdowns. He's kind of the touchdown guy in Atlanta now, and obviously Julio Jones. But Mohamed Sanu's, you know, don't sleep on Mohamed Sanu now. Back-to-back games with 15 or more fantasy points. And then obviously if anything happens to Calvin Ridley or Julio, we talk about our combo strategy with regards to wide receivers and running backs. Mohamed Sanu is a guy that his stock's only going to go up, and you can start him even when Calvin Ridley and Julio are on the field. With the way this Atlanta offense has been firing all cylinders this year.
Yeah, 2018 offenses, and in particular the Atlanta Falcons at the top of that list. You just talked about starting 3 Rams receivers. No reason why you can't start 2 or, God forbid, 3 Atlanta receivers. I mean, I wouldn't love the idea of all 3, but, I mean, if you had to, you know they're scoring points. We had another 5 wide receivers this week that have double-digit receptions. So, Mohamed Sanu, and I believe I read it was in the 47 to 54% range. I forget, those two numbers are kind of sticking out to me, that Calvin Ridley was on the field for on week four. So Calvin Ridley right now is still he's still getting out-snapped by Mohamed Sanu, as surprising as that might be because of how productive he is specifically during the in the red zone. But Mohamed Sanu is still on the field. It's not like he's losing a lot of snap share to Calvin Ridley. He's definitely someone, especially with how that offense is playing. And as you mentioned, if in case there's any injuries, he needs to be had on a team.
Agreed. Another player, Taylor Gabriel. Now, this is a player. Chicago was on bye week five. So it's going to be easier to get those players, obviously, because people, when they go on waiver wires to do their pickups, they want players that can help them out this week. They're not usually looking to stash a player like a Taylor Gabriel. So I guess Taylor Gabriel would kind of fit into the Nick Chubb category, D.D. Westbrook category, because consistency is going to be the issue with Taylor Gabriel until you see him string together a couple of these games. But he had 10 targets in week three and followed up with 7 targets in week four, caught all 7, 2 touchdowns, just a monster game. They did play Tampa, so, you know, everybody does that against Tampa. But Taylor Gabriel's owned only 6% of leagues, and Chicago's, you know, this is final. It looks like finally you might be right about Chicago. You've been talking them up for the past 2 to 3 years, and you know you're just going to keep talking up Chicago every single year until they hit. And now they're looking really good. Mitch Trubisky, monster game on Sunday. So again, if you have a roster spot to burn, you have a bench spot available, you could take a flyer on Taylor Gabriel, especially in deeper leagues. And just see what happens. You know, he had those spurts last year with Atlanta, and if Chicago's offense continues to evolve, and is as high or close to as high powered as it was on Sunday, Taylor Gabriel is somebody that definitely warrants consideration.
I think you have your facts and figures incorrect here. Me hyping up Chicago for the last 3 years, until this year they had John Fox, so. I think I was a non-proponent of John Fox for quite some time. I think everyone on this podcast who's listened to me complain about John Fox and his offense and strategy would attest to. Now, maybe the last couple of years I've hyped up Tampa Bay for a little bit. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
No, or maybe there's a lot of Chicago players you were the Cameron Merediths of the world.
Yep, Cameron Meredith last year. Yep.
Yeah. So. It's
well in terms
playing a little bit of revisionist history right here, saying that you weren't on the Chicago Bears bandwagon in the past 3 years. But for what it's worth, it looks like you are on the right track this year with the Bears. They are kind of the sexy pick right now to potentially win the NFC North and maybe be a factor in the postseason.
Yeah, and of course they play Tampa Bay, who, after all the injuries to their secondary, which wasn't great in the first place, but, you know, with Chris Conte going out, they had to start 3 rookies in the secondary. Just looked abysmal. The Trey Burton touchdown, completely wide open. Any quarterback can make that pass. Maybe even me. Who knows? I'd love to give them more credit. We'll see. They've been playing well, though, just in the year. Their defense has been playing well. They, you know, obviously almost won on the road opening weekend in Green Bay. But Aaron Rodgers floats on air, so he, you know, he comeback victory there.
Aaron Rodgers floats on air.
Well, according to Chris Collinsworth, if you listen to the Sunday night,
he walks on water. Might be like the saying you were going for. He floats on air.
No. Chris Collinsworth all night. He was saying he floated on 1 foot. I'm pretty sure.
Remember when Chris Collinsworth was talking about Big Ben? He cannot get enough of Big Ben's pump fakes, and he's like, you know, if they keep playing this zone on Big Ben, this is where the pump fakes really come into play. I'm like, oh, here we go, Chris Collinsworth obsessing on the pump fakes.
He absolutely loves the pump fakes. He loves it.
But, and we were talking earlier, and this before I even looked at the stats in terms of officially who the worst defenses are against the pass this year. I'm like, who do you think the worst defenses are? I mean, it has to be Pittsburgh and Tampa, right? Yep. Lo and behold, two of the bottom three, New Orleans, of course, right there. But Tampa Bay has got to be historically bad against the pass. They have given up 1,432 passing yards through 4 games. To put it in perspective, if you look at Jacksonville is number 2. And they've given up 657 passing yards. So we're talking about an extra 200 passing yards per game more Tampa's given up than Jacksonville. which is just completely absurd. I mean, it really is a joke when you watch Tampa Bay, what these teams are doing to them every single week. So Tampa Bay through 4 weeks is the defense you look at when you're, and this is when you're picking up players in the waiver wire. You know, it's not always sexy. It's not always, they're not always a lot of pretty faces there. You got, sometimes you gotta grab some sketchy players, and that's where matchups come into play. If they're playing Tampa Bay, these sketchy looking players on the waiver wire become pretty attractive pretty quick.
Yeah, let me get back to your Taylor Gabriel, because I know we got a little off track there.
Never.
But I think one of the key takeaways that we have to take away with this game, there's two. One is that they played Tampa Bay. Okay, we've covered that. The second is that Anthony Miller was out with a separated shoulder. Now, it's not that Anthony Miller was, you know, a high volume target share percentage kind of guy, but they did utilize him. And they probably used him in some of the similar routes that Taylor Gabriel ran. So they don't really have a number two target there. I mean, I guess Tariq Cohen and Allen Robinson is kind of like the 1-2. And even Trey Burton this past week only had two catches. So in terms of receiving threats, that's more down the field. Taylor Gabriel is kind of like the de facto number two behind Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
So I think he's probably a decent start as long as Anthony Miller is still out. So I'd keep an eye on that. Definitely worth owning, though, for sure.
And let's go to our next player, our next receiver here is Albert Wilson, the former Kansas City Chief receiver, having a quietly solid year for Miami, and he's got a great matchup week 5 against the Cincinnati Bengals, who have given up 67 points over the past 2 weeks. They are another bottom 5 defense against the pass. So I like Albert Wilson this week. You know, if you own some of the Tampa Bay or Chicago, receivers, and they're on bye and you're in need of a receiver, Albert Wilson is somebody that's worth taking a look at. He's hovering around double digits every single week. So what are your thoughts on Albert Wilson? He's owned in 8% of leagues.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it doesn't sound sexy, but I guess he kind of fits some of these other categories that we've talked about with, like, the DDs, you know, having a pretty decent, you know, season so far, not something you can totally rely on, not someone that you want in your lineup upcoming, say, week 5. But again, if you've been holding on to that player or two that just hasn't been performing for, you know, and you've been kind of reluctant to drop someone, go ahead and out there and just start picking up people who are actually performing at this point, because the names don't matter anymore. You know, we got to start focusing on production.
Exactly. And I love the matchup. His floor is right around, 7 to 9 points. Like that's the worst case scenario for Albert Wilson. Great matchup. I think Miami's going to bounce back and have a nice day against Cincinnati. Tywan Taylor is another receiver, and this is someone that you brought up. You were pumping him up, and sure enough, I mean, got to tip my hat to you. He had a pretty solid game: 7 catches, 77 yards. With no Rishard Matthews, not that Rishard Matthews was really a factor, anyways. Tennessee's offense has been pretty disappointing as a whole, but they're starting to get it together a little bit. Mariota had a nice game against Philadelphia. Week 5, they play in Buffalo. You know, Buffalo is one of those teams, their offense is horrid, but their defense has been somewhat solid this year, week 1 aside, that debacle of a game in Baltimore. I don't know if I love the matchup. I don't know if it's as good as it sounds, as it looks like at first glance, but Tywan Taylor is another player only owned in, you know, about 4% of leagues, and he has some upside. I already know what you think of him, but what are your thoughts on Tywan Taylor?
Yep. He was, I'll go back here and just, I hyped him up a little bit in the draft process, did not come to fruition. I had to drop him. Wasn't getting on the field. You know, sometimes that's what we have to look at. You can like a player. We hear this a lot of times when you listen to, sports analysts or other podcasts. They like what they see, but this player is not getting enough attention, or the ball target share, snap share percentage. That's what happened with Taywan Taylor at the beginning of the year. He was definitely droppable. He's gone up against Jacksonville as well. So he's climbed from like a 11, 17% snap share percentage all the way up. Now he's getting nine. He got nine targets last game, seven catches. Last week was a little bit of a risky call. Being only, 3% owned, he was basically free to get last week. Depending on your league, he's had two double-digit games and two complete bust games. So he's probably still going to be expensive, but he won't be free this week. He's definitely the second best receiver, I think, in Tennessee. Not including Deion Lewis, if you want to put him or Deion Lewis as number two behind Corey Davis. The tight ends aren't really making a big impact there. Tajay Sharpe is who he is. The running game is just not very good. So he should still keep seeing a good large amount of targets per week.
Yeah, I mean, second best receiver on Tennessee isn't the greatest superlative that you could give out, but
no,
it's
not exactly.
It's something. It's late on a Monday night. We're doing the best we can right now.
we're trying to find players that are obviously low, low ownership percentage for all of us that are in deep leagues. Seth, you and I are in, several 12-team leagues that are some kind be very difficult to find certain players, and Taywan Taylor's are, unfortunately, the cream of the crop on the waiver wire.
Cream of the crop, exactly. So he doesn't necessarily float on air, but hey, he's worth a pickup. Low ownership percentage. He's got upside. Second best player in Tennessee.
When you say it, it does sound really bad. I can hear it now.
Tight ends, I really hate the tight end position. I have Jordan Reed in most of my leagues. He's on bye, so who do I do? I pick up Will Dissly from Seattle. Not expecting anything in return. Plug him into my lineup, and I'm like, what is Will Dissly doing? Oh, nothing. Oh, he's carted off with an injury. Great. It's brutal. These tight ends on the waiver wire, it's like playing Russian roulette. Vance McDonald is a guy that I was watching the game in Pittsburgh and obviously got a lot of hype from that play where he just threw Chris Conte to the ground and basically ended his career, a week ago on Monday Night Football. And then he followed up with a pretty good game. And Jesse James is like invisible. You just don't see Jesse James anymore. Vance McDonald looks like he actually looks pretty good. So he's available back-to-back games now, double digits. Owned in 31% of leagues, which is actually pretty high from a little higher than what I was expecting. But I like Vance McDonald if you are in the tight end streaming position that a lot of us are in this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to say other than if you're in one of those scenarios, going to go with who's getting some production. Vance, if he's available and you're starting the Will Disleys of the world, make a move.
Make a move, baby. My streaming defense, this just is just – it's really unfortunate position to be in. Another streaming position. Most people are in the streaming defense position because, let's face it, there's not too many good defenses. So – my streaming defense this year or this week is the Tennessee Titans playing in Buffalo. Buffalo's offense has been pretty abysmal outside of that one week against Minnesota when Josh Allen looked like the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then he comes crashing back down to earth. So I like Tennessee's defense. Tennessee's defense to this point is looking like a top 10 defense in the NFL. They got a good matchup. I'm streaming Tennessee if you're like me and you have a defense that consistently gets you negatives every single week.
Impressive. Decent defensive stream set that Seth said it, so now I'm concerned.
Yeah. So basically, like, you can't pick them up now. So to take that with a grain of salt. I did forget one receiver, Kiki Kuti or Kute, hopefully I'm pronouncing the name right, Houston's rookie receiver. A lot of his damage came, or at least some of his damage came when Will Fuller exited with the injury. But it's hard to discount the day he had 11 catches, 109 yards against Indy. I don't know. He's a rookie. We know rookies kind of take a while to get going. Whenever you see that those type of numbers, it always kind of it could be a fluke, but it's also worth maybe grabbing him. 11 catches, 109 yards, hard to ignore. he's available in just about all of leagues. He's available in, you know, basically 99% of ESPN leagues. And Will Fuller is somebody who has injury problems every single year since he's been in the NFL. So if Will Fuller can't go, Houston's one of the more high-powered offenses. They're finally getting it going. I think Kiki Coody is worth a pickup.
Yeah, hard to really make, you know, to really have a hard stance on Kiki Coody. We're just going to go with that. Because his first game, right, back from that hamstring that he had, I remember coming out of college, he's kind of a smaller frame kind of guy, so I didn't have much impression on him in terms of, you know, standing out, 5'11", 180. But 15 targets in one game, I don't care if Will Fuller went down the first quarter, that's an insane amount.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of throwing in Indy's defense completely stinks, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to be going back. This will be one game I'm going to go and do the replay on the condensed game on NFL All 32, rewatch this person to get an idea of how big of a fab budget bid I need to do. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy, but I most certainly don't want to put in a very weak offer knowing that I should be aggressive with this person because to your point, you know, maybe Houston's starting to put it together a little bit more with the passing, you know, Deshaun Watson coming back from the knee injury. Maybe they're starting to get things together. Maybe this guy's really good. Will Fuller's constantly hurt. And again, 15 targets don't lie. So I would definitely be – he's got to be the top pickup this weekend, I would have to think.
Yeah, I think if you're – out of all the players we mentioned, if – I mean, Mohamed Sanu is – it's tough. Mohamed Sanu is a plug-and-play guy that you can plug right in and you know what you're going to get. He can help you right away. If you can afford to think more kind of big picture, Kiki Coody does have a little more upside. So those would be the two players on kind of opposite ends of the spectrum.
Plus, think about all the cool team names you could use.
It's true, because you could probably pronounce his name a bunch of different ways, so it could work no matter what, you know? I want to wrap up with a question for you. So the news broke today. Le'Veon Bell is expected to report to Pittsburgh to join his Steelers teammates week 7, which is their bye week. It looks like he's in full damage control, saying all the right things. He's hoping Pittsburgh re-signs him to a long-term deal. I want to ask you, this is also kind of, we talk about waiver pickups. This is also the time of the season where people start looking at trades for fantasy. If you are a James Conner owner, are you in sell mode right now? Are you in like, I'm going to sell for not pennies in the dollar, not for anything I can get, but am I looking to move him if I can get a decent package in return, considering the Le'Veon Bell news, but also considering that James Conner really has struggled to run the football. He's only topped double digits in carries twice this year, and he's gone down in fantasy points each week. So if you have James Conner, are you kind of testing the waters, shopping him around, see if you can get something for him?
Yeah, I'd sell him for anything. You got two games left out of James Conner. Unless you are 1-3 and you really kind of need him and you don't want to, you want to go for the upside and he's a running back, I'd sell him for almost anything. You know, I'd give me a decent flex player that can count on 10 points a week. I'm going to take it. I think at this point, I mean, Allen Robinson in Chicago, where do you stand on that? That kind of just stuck out in my head. A guy that hasn't been great, hasn't been bad. Yeah, I'd trade Connor for him, most certainly. I don't know if that's
I think I would. It would depend on my record and how bad my running back situation is, because Allen Robinson is on bye this week. James Connor's got two decent matchups. And then who knows, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, could be traded. I tend to think that probably isn't going to happen because I can't imagine Pittsburgh is going to get back what they're looking for in return for Le'Veon Bell. So I don't know. But I do think that with 2 weeks, him being a running back, it's tough to find good running backs. And there is also the potential of a Le'Veon Bell trade. I think that you'd have to give it definitely cause to pause a little bit. But I think I would do that, you know, unless I was in complete must-win territory this week.
Yep, I would definitely move on. And what would you give up for Le'Veon Bell? And specifically, I have a trade off the top of my head. Maybe I offered it, maybe I didn't. I don't know. Would you do? Would you, if you had Keenan Allen, would you trade him for Le'Veon Bell?
That's very close. I mean, if I'm 1-3 or if I'm 0-4 after this week, I don't do that trade because I need to win.
Say you're 2-2 and you have Keenan Allen.
I'm 2-2. I have Keenan Allen. Yes, I think I'm probably doing that trade just because I don't know. The Chargers, I'm not really worried big picture about Keenan Allen, but Mike Williams has stepped it up this year. Melvin Gordon has been catching a lot of touchdowns, which is obviously nothing new, but I think I would do that. That's definitely close though, but I think I would do that and roll the dice knowing the upside, you know, especially a fresh Le'Veon Bell would bring to the table for the stretch run of the fantasy season.
Okay, good. I mean, actually, as soon as I got the news, I went out, I made that offer. Need some running back help. Plus I think Le'Veon Bell's an upgrade. Plus I'm not in, not struggling. I don't need to win next week, but I think that kind of puts into perspective of what it would take to get Le'Veon Bell at this point. You're still going to need a player who's got name value, who's still got good upside, but I'm not going to give up someone who has been playing very good every week in, week out, just because Le'Veon Bell still has to come back, still has to actually start, not split carries with James Conner, not potentially get traded to a worse offense, shake off all the rust. So you still have a lot of, you know, some concerns. I'm not saying they're major. I'd still trade for Le'Veon Bell, but I think that's the ballpark that you'd have to consider in terms of trade value.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very solid, and it's okay to take risks. If you can acquire someone like Le'Veon Bell and you have the chance to get him at, you know, somewhat of a discount, it's worth taking a risk. Yeah, and like if losing Keenan Allen, depending on what your team looks like, that could definitely hurt you. But if you get Le'Veon Bell and he's the Le'Veon Bell of old, that's what wins you championships right there. That is a game changer. That moves the needle. So, you know, when you can acquire a player like that, I'm always about taking risks.
All right, and that's going to wrap up our episode for Week 5 Waiver Wire Pickups, everyone. Thanks for listening. We're the NFL Talking Heads.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the NFL Talking Heads Fantasy Football Podcast Show. Try saying that three times fast. With your hosts, Jeff Carrier and Seth Lowe. We'll catch you next time.